It's one thing to begin well, to start out strong. It's another to persevere to the finish. Hello, I'm Brian Patrick. Welcome to Crossing the Goal, where we tackle the tough issues most men think about but seldom talk about. Staying in the game, fortitude, is our topic on Crossing the Goal. Well, as we kick off our show on fortitude, staying in the game, let's meet the Crossing the Goal team. Peter Herbeck is Vice President of Renewal Ministries, an author and a speaker who directs international mission teams in more than 25 countries. Peter's been married 22 years. He is the father of four. Curtis Martin is President and founder of FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. He's the author of Boys to Men. He's been married 18 years and he has 8 children. And Coach Danny Abramowitz, former NFL and All-Pro wide receiver and NFL coach. Danny's a well-known speaker and author of Spiritual Workout of a Former Saint. He is a husband of 42 years and a father of 3 and grandfather of 4. Gentlemen, welcome. Peter, you got the kickoff.
Thanks. Appreciate it. You know, the whole program each week that we're working on, we're talking about virtue. And virtue is really becoming the utmost we can be, what God has called us to be, what He's made us to be. And to get there is a battle. I mean, Jesus is the perfect image, and we're following the Lord. He's the perfect example, and life for Him was a battlefield. Scripture tells us He came to do battle, and we're called into battle. We're called to fight and to follow the Lord down the narrow path, which allows us to cooperate with His grace to become all that we're meant to be. In this case, we're talking about courage and perseverance, and we need perseverance because this battle is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And it takes everything, and we got to make it through the long haul. In fact, Scripture says it's the one who perseveres to the end that's going to gain the crown. And every day is a battle, but there's something in us that doesn't want to look at it that way. We want to be able to, you know, turn the battle into, you know, Disneyland, you know, or something like that, or a pleasure trip of some kind, because there's something in us that wants it to be that. We don't want to struggle as deeply, and we look for escapes, and we become susceptible to temptation, and we're always looking for escapes and try to create the world, make it something that it's not.
And our themes that we're going after are about trying to be the men we need to be. To recognize that at this part, we're talking about the very type of courage that allows us not only to get into the race, but to stay into the race once we're in it. As St. Paul says, to run so as to win. And it's so important because history is not filled with a lot of examples of great finishers. We need to be the type of men who not only begin well, but are able to run so as to win, to be as Christ did, who pursued up to the very last ounce of His earthly existence, faithfulness to the Father. Instead, many of us find ourselves trapped in a kind of compromised position where we're double-minded. We find ourselves with one foot firmly in the world and the other one in the church. We're compromising our own integrity because our values aren't ordered. We need to be the kind of men who see things clearly and don't allow ourselves to be double-minded because of conflicting desires.
Well, going to your point about escape, you know, that's exactly what I did. I sort of escaped out into the unreal situation. Take, for instance, played in the NFL. Now, it takes some courage to participate in that league.
A lot of courage. Especially when you know you're running a crossing pattern in front of Dick Butkus.
Yeah. Got hit so hard I had blue eyes. One blue north, one blue south. But but what happened, I didn't have the courage, or I lacked it, to face up to some of my shortcomings out here in the real world. And what eventually I did was to cover it up. Yeah. I reverted, escaped to booze.
When you have a double mind, you end up losing both, because in one sense you're pursuing God, and the other sense you're pursuing the world. But when you don't firmly plant yourself committed to pursuing the Lord, you end up compromising and losing the Lord. But you also lose the things of this world, because the things of this world really can't satisfy us. We were made for everlasting happiness, and even if we do enjoy them for a moment, there's a sense of guilt that God gives us. So it's a lose-lose proposition.
You're right. You know something? You do have that path, one down this way. And I knew I was going down the wrong path on many occasions, but I just couldn't overcome it. It was like something overpowered me in this situation.
You know, the Scripture says, you mentioned the double-minded man. The Scripture says, the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And so you're trying to have one foot here and one foot there. You do the splits. It splits you in half, and you have no clear identity.
Right.
You have no strength. And a lot of guys who are straddling the fence and have one foot on both sides, what it ends up doing is it isolates you. You feel isolated and alone. One, because you know you're doing some stuff you aren't supposed to be doing. You know, we all have struggled with that whole thing. But you never get secure in your identity, your sense of purpose, your sense of mission, and all the rest just kind of goes to the wayside.
But don't you think some of these reality shows, that's what guys are escaping, is so popular, all these shows, that guys are afraid to really look at reality, and they escape to other things in life, and the different things out here that sort of attract us away from really looking into ourselves.
Well, Coach Peter and Curtis are going to review the game plan for staying in the game, perseverance, when we come back right after this timeout.
Welcome back. We're talking about courage and, in particular, perseverance, a quality of courage. And what I'd like to do is take some time, Curtis, to define a little bit more again, what is courage?
Sure. I mean, this is a very important topic for us to realize. We need to see that courage, which really is the virtue of fortitude, is the willingness to endure an injury for the sake of the good, to recognize that there's some good that's out there that needs to be protected or established, and then to go into the battle, if you will, and to build that good or protect it, recognizing that we're going to sustain a loss.
So it's not a matter of living without fear. It's not being fearless or I'm so strong. I have courage. I'm so strong. I don't have to be afraid of anything. It's just the opposite in some ways. It's not the...
Right. We have to make ourselves strong because the battle is tough. Life is hard. But in the midst of that, we recognize that even with our own strength, we are going to fall short. In fact, the ultimate form of courage and fortitude is martyrdom, it's death. And to be able to see that carrying the cross that our Lord says, you know, our Lord doesn't pull any punches with us. You know, he says, if you want to follow me, grab a cross, pick it up and carry it. I promise you that if you follow me, I'll give you heaven. I will bring you into everlasting happiness. But between now and then, you got a cross to carry. And that's going to be tough because we don't want to carry the cross. St. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians. He says, I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. It's important to see that he is very, very committed to training himself for holiness.
Now, what does the buffeting of the body mean exactly? What's he talking about and what's the point of it?
Yeah, well, maybe by way of an example, we could start with a sports analogy. You're not going to be great at football or any sport if you don't train yourself. Well, life is a sport in a very real way, and we have to train ourselves. So the buffet is the training, because we as humans have two parts, or we're a composite being made up of two aspects, a soul and a body. And there's a wrestling match after original sin that takes place. The body wants to be in control. The soul wants to be in control. Well, the soul will lead the body into heaven. The body will lead the soul into hell. And so you need to train your body to listen to your soul, to obey what you know to be true rather than what you feel to be convenient.
Yeah, and it's a lifelong battle, which we're talking about perseverance. That's that capacity and quality to stick with it through the long haul. Being able to fight one battle after another and to hang in there. You know, and I remember in Paul in Hebrews, he has the passage where he says, you know, consider, Paul saying, knowing that you're in the midst of a fight, knowing that your whole life is a battle, he says, consider him who bore so much pain for you, Jesus, right? The pioneer and perfecter of your faith, and he who endured the cross, you know, and take strength. Don't be faint-hearted. Take strength from seeing how he endured, because remember, he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life, he set the model, and he's calling us to endure as well.
Well, it's a very key passage that you mentioned, because we're told that for the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross. We have fortitude because we believe there's something worth fighting for on the other side. And to be able to recognize that an eternal perspective is so key here. And time is a funny thing, Peter. We see time, and when we look forward into it, I've got teenage kids who are, you know, I've got one who's 15 who's saying, Dad, am I ever going to be 16? It seems like it's going to be so long. And life is a marathon, but we can't get distracted by the fact that sometimes we overblow that and say, well, it's just too long of a journey. Because if you look back into time, the past kind of closes in on itself. You can think back to second grade. I mean, it's just a collection of memories. And there's going to be a point in time in each one of our lives when all of our time is going to be behind us at the moment of our death and the beginning of eternal life. And that's the way we will look at our lives forever. And we need to have that eternal perspective so that as we're running the race, we don't sit back and say, it's too long, it's too hard, but rather, I will do what I need to do to endure for the sake of the prize.
That's what Paul says, you know, this slight momentary affliction, he describes trials and difficulties. And that brother went through some serious trials, shipwrecks, beatings, he was whipped, he was beaten up, all of that. And he always looked at it as a slight momentary affliction, which was going to eventually give way to an eternal weight of glory. So for him, the goal, the end goal, the final goal is what moved him, and it's what he kept in mind all the time.
No, I think if you compare it to St. Paul, he wasn't complaining. He was actually rejoicing that he was able to suffer. Whereas for me, I'll do something simple like, we'll make the commitment, I'm going to go work out at the gym. And I'll get up early and I'm thinking, I'm really making a sacrifice. And I'll drive on the way to the gym. I'll realize I didn't bring my gym shoes. That must be a sign that I'm supposed to go home and go back to bed. Because any little inconvenience stops me. Yeah. Whereas St. Paul is so sold out for the sake of the kingdom. He is going to run after Christ no matter what, and in fact does until they chop his head off.
Yeah, and you can see how the virtue of hope and courage are related to each other. In fact, hope empowers courage in a certain way, because hope is the confident expectation of the fulfillment of my life. I'm confident. I've got the grace, the theological virtue of grace that says, you know what? What Christ now has, he's gone through everything that could possibly hurt and harm me. He's conquered it all. He now exists in glory. And what he has in superabundance is given to me. And I'm going to have it as well. And I believe it, that nothing can stop me. So I'm willing then to have the kind of courage to say yes.
Well, you look at hope is exactly what you're saying. You've got a prize that is beyond imagination, and yet you have a confidence that you can attain it if you remain faithful. And so you push on. So really the Christian amongst all men is the one who can live courage, who can really draw his life together for a purpose that's beyond himself, and every one of us longs to serve something greater than ourselves.
Right on. Thanks much, Curtis.
All right, Peter and Curtis. Coach Danny Abramowitz, with your experience in the NFL, I'll bet there's a little you can teach us about perseverance when we get into the red zone.
Well, we're going to get down and take a look at it.
We'll meet Curtis and Peter down there in the pit next here on Crossing the Goal. We are ready to rumble from the red zone. Our topic today, courage, staying in the game on Crossing the Goal. Curtis, you're the man.
You know, thanks. The challenge for me, guys, is I really have this deep-seated desire to be great. Something inside of me that says, Curtis, you are not the man you need to be, but you could be with God's help. And I'm trying to figure out how that works. What do I need to do to become a better version of myself?
Well, I think a lot of times great, you know, what is great in your life? You know, some guys' standard of great is here, other guys are here. I think God called us to be holy and great, to go strive for higher goals in life. And I think that a lot of guys maybe underestimate themselves and really don't shoot for a higher goal,
One of the things I was thinking, Danny, the whole idea of perseverance, persevering through trial. Guys are made to fight. You know, there's something in us. Look what guys like watching, Ultimate Fighting, NFL football. Yeah. We like all that aggressive stuff. Guys like watching war movies, all the rest of this, men fight wars. And we like aggressiveness. We admire heroic, physical accomplishments. But you know, the toughest battle is the one that's in here.
Right.
It's confronting the stuff that's in here. And to me, most men don't even want to get near that.
I know.
We run from it. We'll medicate it. You know, we'll escape from it. We'll drug it. We'll do whatever we can do. But we ain't going that. We'll go out that way, but we ain't going this way.
Watch this. You know? You brought up a point, challenge. A man is built for challenges. You know, a woman really doesn't like it that much. A guy, if you don't challenge a guy, think about this in your own life. Curtis, you can't do that. You might not say it verbally out, but inside, the heck I can't. I'll show you.
No, absolutely, Danny. I'm telling you, in some ways, my dad, when I was going away to college, he said, I think you're going to flunk out. And I got the best grades of my entire life because I was going to prove him wrong.
Did he do it on purpose?
He's a very wise man.
Yeah, he was a football player and a coach. Yeah, yeah. But I think the other half of that is the challenge can't be so great that you get discouraged.
It's got to be doable.
Exactly. Because I'll go to work and there are challenges at work and I'll strive and I'll feel like I'm making some efforts, have some successes. And then I'll go home, and after a full day of people wanting to hear what I have to say and to listen to me, I'll go back to my kids, and they're kind of like, yeah, whatever, Dad. And I'll find myself battling discouragement. Can I be the father that I want to be, that I know I need to be for their sake, if they're not ready to listen to me? Yeah. And that fear of failure actually tempts me to just disengage. You know what? Where's the television?
Yeah, okay, fine. You know, kind of like, oh, yeah, right, fine. You know,
go back to work.
If you're going to treat me that way, there's a, if I might say so, there's a little bit of self-pity in that, right? I mean, I experienced it in my own life. That's what gets us to pull away. And that's also what gets us in a lot of trouble. That's we give ourselves permission to play with sin.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Because I deserve it because of the hard work I've done, or my wife doesn't love me anymore. I can't, you know, all this stuff. I better go get it somewhere else. All these kinds of things go on, guys. And we, you know, and the real perseverance and the real courageous battle is the one where we look honestly at our affection for sin, our attachment to sin, how much we feel like we can't live without it, and our unwillingness to go after it. You know, here's Paul in Hebrews says, you know, you haven't yet shed your blood in your battle against sin. I mean, here's a guy who's saying, I'm talking all-out limit against sin, you know, all-out commitment, excuse me, against sin.
The only thing that I would correct you with, it's not a little bit of self-pity, it's actually a huge bunch of self-pity, because I swore before God to my wife that I would be there for her, and I actually have a wonderful wife. I have never met a better one. I've got 8 great kids, and it's the little speed bumps along the way of somebody who would rather watch ESPN than talk to me, or would rather go out and hang out with their friends and talk to me for a few moments, that all of a sudden I sit back and go, oh, well, I guess I'm not the most important. No, I actually have a commitment to be the best dad I can be in season and out.
Don't you think a little bit of fear comes into this thing, a good healthy fear to and challenge it, almost a fear with anger in there. I got to do it. What am I feeling sorry for myself? Darn it, I got to get up and get going. You know, that time, and I think that part of other guys being together helps that out. You know, that you're not alone. That's why I'm a big proponent of fellowship groups, sharing groups, guys getting together and talking about these things. A lot of times guys are fearful of bringing these kind of issues up. I'm dealing with this. They think they're the only guy that's dealing with that.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about what are the things that we've found, I mean, in our real life experience that we found that really help us persevere through the trials, help us win battles against the stuff inside that's difficult. What are the things you bet on, Curtis? What are the things you've kind of leaned into?
Well, Peter, I think you've asked the fundamental question, and there are many things, but none of them would make any sense except for the conversion to Christ. My sophomore year in college, Christ became very real to me. I'd been raised in a Catholic home, and I had drifted away because I had been doing whatever I felt like doing for a lot of years. Yeah. And in my sophomore year, I recognized Christ for who he was and gave my life back to him. And because of that, whenever I look and say, oh, I think I'll do whatever I feel like doing again, I sit back and say, no, Lord, I walked away from you one time, never again. Yeah. It's a matter not just of doing the right thing, but of personal loyalty to another person, the person of Jesus Christ.
And then once you make that step, that conversion step, that you want to bring the Lord in your life, then it's a growth pattern after. You know, just like in AA, I became sober but not serene as I the long haul I became more as I brought the
how
Lord in my life.
But how'd you get from sobriety to serenity? I mean, what were the things that you did that sort of cooperated with God's grace that allowed you to change, to actually change in here?
One, I admitted that I had some problems and asked and invited the Lord into my life, into my heart.
So you're living in the truth. You're not playing games. You're done with
games.
The mask.
I'm tired.
You're done playing games.
Throw
all that
all out the window. I'm tired of all that stuff. And then a prayer life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's rock bottom.
If you don't have that, guys, you know that. You can't make it. We might think we can make it. And I'm talking about prayer. You don't, Our Father, Hail Mary, that's all good. But sit down in quiet. Lord, change me. Help me. I'm struggling out here. Please help me. What's he going
to
say?
No. Yeah, the way that you would talk to a friend, and then go find friends who also talk to God. I mean, the next part of it is you just need brothers who want the best for you and know God and can lead you in that way.
Well, that's why I like that idea of getting together, because the Lord uses it. You might be the person to use that you're the instrument that's going to help me.
I'm sure.
See
of
what
that.
I'm saying? Yeah. Absolutely.
I know I'm in trouble if that's the case.
Some of the guys watching might say, talk to God. God talked to me. Right. I mean, I don't have the slightest idea how that happens. I don't know how to make it happen. You know, one concrete way is to read God's word.
Oh.
To read the scripture. I mean, honestly, you guys, how much is God's word a big part of your life? I mean, that's a big way that God talks to me. I mean, it's Pope Benedict XVI last year was exhorting the whole church to take up the daily reading of scripture. He says that is you will encounter and meet Jesus personally there, and he will talk to you. And when he talks, he changes things. And if he's talking to you, he's going to change you.
Right, but I think one thing you want to say is the greatest place, if you've never started before, is to start in the New Testament.
Yeah,
start
right.
with either the Gospel of Matthew or John right away. You go back and get the Old Testament later, but you want to meet Jesus face to face. And if you want to know what he has to say to you, I was a sophomore in college reading the Gospel of Luke, and I read the passage in Luke 6:46. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say?"
Right.
And when I read it, I felt like I'd been punched in the gut, because I read it with an extra word in there. It said, Curtis, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? And right there, I said, I got to change.
And Curtis, on that note, we're going to push into the end zone, where each of these guys will get a last word on this subject of perseverance. Next on Crossing the Goal, right after a timeout. We pushed into the end zone here on Crossing the Goal, where each of these guys gets the last word on perseverance, endurance, staying in the game. Peter?
My challenge is this, very simple. Give to God what belongs to God. It's the same challenge that Jesus gives to all of us. Give to God what belongs to God. What belongs to God? You, me, your freedom, your life, your surrender. Let your whole heart be given to the Lord. Surrender to Him. And He's going to lead you wherever you need to go. He's the solution. He's the answer. It all starts there.
Thanks. You know, the important part that I would like to stress is that life is a marathon. We've mentioned that, but a marathon starts with the first step. And it's so important. We sometimes feel overwhelmed. Where do I even begin? There's so many things in my life that are broken, that are missing. And my invitation to you is to turn to God in prayer, as we mentioned. And we talked about God speaking back to us, and He can do so in Scripture, but I'm going to give you a prayer that I believe God will answer very clearly to you, and that is just turn to the Lord in 5 minutes of quiet time and say, Lord, what do you want me to get rid of in my life, or what do you want me to bring in? And something will come to your mind. That's God calling you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Curtis. Guys, the coach wants to give you this. Listen, build yourself up. The world out here will try to beat you down like a rented donkey. And I'm telling you, I want you to pray and ask the Lord to give you the strength to change, the courage to change, to have a positive attitude on life, to build up, not tear down.
Coach Danny Abramowitz, Curtis Martin, Peter Herbeck, good to have time with you guys here on Crossing the Goal. We'll see you next time. Until then, dare to be great, men. We're made for it.